They say that a lot of Christian, you know, theology comes from these myths. And I would say that that may be true, except for one thing. Uh-huh. That they saw Jesus die.
Yeah.
They saw him be crucified. They saw him get buried. They saw them put the 2,000 plus pound stone in front of the tomb. They saw him get up. They saw him start walking around digging hard. Uh-huh. They even heard him start preaching. Uh-huh. I don't see no myth in that.
All right.
But what I say is that our ancestors were so prophetic. They didn't know about the Trinity, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They just knew that there was a God out there who was going to do something for them. While we're doing that, I would like to say happy Resurrection Day to all y'all who are here. Amen. Amen. Just in case y'all don't know why we worship on Sunday, this is the reason why. Amen. We're going to talk about that for a few minutes on today. Let me get my towel. Amen. Amen. Good to see how y'all smiling faces out there this morning. I'm going to invite your attention to Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 8. Matthew 28, we're going to try and get right into this word. I want to try to get you in and out of here today, amen, as y'all celebrate Resurrection Day. Amen. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 8. Y'all have it?
Amen.
Amen. All right. It reads this. It says, Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said he would. He said, come see the place where the Lord lay." I put that as he said he would. That was mine. "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And all people of God said, amen. And the reading of the Word of God, you may be seated. And today we're just going to talk about the resurrection.
Right.
What did it mean? You know, it's interesting because there are various mythologies that's going on throughout the years, throughout the decades, and even the centuries, even the millennia. And they talk about the myth of the resurrection. I think the oldest one is about maybe 10,000 years old, they say. It's called the Ethiopian myth. The next one next to that is the Kemet, which is about, they say, 6,000 years old. But most of the myths got their information from these oldest myths. And the myth went that there was the god Osiris, or Sar, and then had the goddess Aset and the god Heru, a trinity. And they say basically at the end of the day that Asar died After he died during his death, somehow he came and he spiritually impregnated a set. And so the set had what we call the virgin birth. And so Heru was born from that. And then eventually Heru came and to be able to bring back and win his father's kingdom back to his father, because his father was murdered in such a way. So ultimately, end of the day, that Heru came, he came back and he won the kingdom, and as he won his kingdom, his father resurrected, and he then sits, you know, back on the throne. And it's a myth. But they say that a lot of Christian, you know, theology comes from these myths. And I would say that may be true, except for one thing.
Uh-huh.
That they saw Jesus die.
Yeah.
They saw him be crucified. They saw him get buried. They saw them put the 2,000 plus pound stone in front of the tomb. They saw him get up. They saw him start walking around, Deacon Hall.
Uh-huh.
They even heard him start preaching. I don't see no myth in that.
All right.
But what I say is that our ancestors were so prophetic. They didn't know about the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They just knew that there was a God out there who was going to do something for them.
Uh-huh.
But here the resurrection is not a myth.
That's right.
It's not false.
Amen.
And so as I was thinking about, you know, how I was going to share with you, I thought about something I shared during Good Friday services, and you know, and it kind of got me thinking. And so, you know, we have the Good Friday services, and we get to preach the last words of Christ, and yada yada yada, you know. And so I had what they call the fifth word, and the fifth word was I thirst. And I was trying to share with them that I saw something in there where he talked about, you know, when he says I thirst, but before he said I thirst, said that Jesus, knowing that all things must be fulfilled in the scriptures, he said, I thirst. And so he had presence of mind to know that he could not complete his mission until he did certain things. And so he said, in other words, he knew that his mission was the resurrection. His mission was the resurrection. So he had to make sure that he was in presence of mind enough to know what his mission was and to complete his mission.
Yeah.
You know, and so y'all know how I am. I got these kind of crazy points, and I was talking about some of the crazy points, and some of the folks were just looking at me like I was crazy, D. But I was really trying to explain to them, you know, because he had to carry out his mission in a certain role.
Yeah.
You know, and so one of the roles that he had to carry out his mission was in, it was called, he had to be what we call the capitulated son who was surrendered and submitted to the Father. Because the Father, it was his plan of salvation. Look at 1 Peter, the second chapter. It said that the Father, he was the one that preordained. And then the Son came and was obedient to the shedding of his blood. So him being the capitulated Son, submitted to his Father, he had to make sure that he fulfilled that role.
Amen.
That is part of the mission. Because the mission is the resurrection. Because the resurrection is so that you and I can live eternal life, right? But then the other role that he played in that, I was trying to get them to understand, but they was, again, looking at me like I was crazy. Maybe I was talking too fast. I don't know. But the other part was that he was the committed servant that stood steadfast to the finish. He was a committed servant that stood steadfast to the finish. In other words, he stayed on the cross. He wasn't going nowhere. He stood steadfast because the finish was, in Hebrews it says that he was looking, you know, for the joy. You know, it wasn't the joy of the crucifixion. It was what the crucifixion was going to bring you and I.
Yeah.
And so he had to stand in his role as a committed servant who was steadfast.
Uh-huh.
Who was steadfast.
Uh-huh.
And he stood steadfast to the finish.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Amen.
So in other words, he had to do this because he had to complete the mission,
uh-huh,
the resurrection. But then I said, well, you know, not only was he, you know, the capitulated son submitted to the father, not only was he the committed servant that stood steadfast to the finish, but he was also what I call the consecrated sacrifice.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
That secured and sanctified our freedom.
Yeah.
Because his blood,
yeah,
he had to shed his blood for you and I.
That's
and
right.
Just anybody couldn't do that.
That's right.
Just anybody couldn't do that. It had to be Christ.
Yeah.
So he had to be born of a virgin.
Yeah, yeah.
He had to come down as God and man together. He had to come, they call it the hypostatic, he had to come down together. He had to feel your pain as a human being, but he had to be ready to deliver you from that pain as God. He had to feel your emotional pain. He had to feel your psychological pain. He had to feel your physical pain. He had to feel even your spiritual pain. When he even said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was a spiritual dilemma right there. But he had to feel that pain in order to deliver you from your pain. In order for you to know that he can do that because he identifies with you. But then I thought about this, and I thought about this while I was sitting back there in the sound booth. But not only was he, I didn't share this fourth wing thing with him, y'all, but I'm going to share it with y'all. So not only was he the capitulated son submitted to his father, not only was he the committed servant that stood steadfast to the finish, not only was he the consecrated sacrifice that secured and sanctified our freedom, but he was also the conquering savior that saved and sealed our future. He was a conquering savior that saved and sealed our future. See, y'all don't have a future without Christ in your life. You don't have a future. I know y'all planning for your future right now on earth. But you don't have a future, capital F, without Christ. Because his mission was the resurrection. That was his mission. And so we get to the mission here in Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now, I'm not gonna hang before you long. I just wanted to share a few things with you. But I want you to understand that he was dedicated to his mission. He was dedicated to, how many of y'all are dedicated to Christ? Like he was so dedicated to you. As a matter of fact, I got to show this. I just thought about this. I hate when I do this, but I just thought about this. Just thought about something. Hebrews 12, 2. And he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What joy was set before him that he endured the cross? The joy of being able to reunite you and I back to the Father. The joy of you and I being able to walk in our salvation. The joy of you and I being broke free from Satan, sin, and from self. The joy. So the joy that he saw, even as he was looking beyond the cross, because that was his mission. Here it is. His mission was to bring us joy. Can you be as dedicated to your mission to bring joy, to bring to be able to glorify God, to bring pleasure to God? Can you? Because you do know that's why you created. You do know that you're not created just to work that job you're working. You do know that, right? You do know that the only reason you're working that job is so you can have some finance and some substance so that you can be able to put forth Jesus Christ wherever you are. You do know that, right? You do know that your ultimate call in life is to be able to put God on display wherever you go. But that was his mission, the resurrection. And so really quickly, I just want to show y'all, you know, because you have to understand that the resurrection was about a whole lot of stuff. When you think of Christianity, you have to remember that Christianity, y'all, is not just about a religion. It's not about a religion. It's not about, you know, rules. It's not about rites. It's not about regulations. It's not about rituals. It's simply about a relationship. But the relationship is not just horizontal. The relationship's got to be vertical first, then horizontal second. And if it's vertical first, horizontal second, then you begin to understand how to deal horizontally because you're dealing correctly vertically.
Amen.
But that's what the resurrection was about. It was about relationship.
Right.
Y'all hear me all the time here at Zoe. Y'all hear me say that understanding that what happened with the resurrection is that three things happened. Y'all know. We got restored in our relationship with Christ, to God.
Yes.
We got restored, and then God restored his reflection through us on earth.
Uh-huh.
And then God also restored his representation through us on earth.
Yes.
Because of the resurrection.
Yeah.
So let me walk down here real quick. I think I only got a couple of points I want to share with y'all about the resurrection and what it really is. We're going to take a little deeper look into this whole thing called the resurrection. So, y'all see here, you got it right here, Matthew 28, you know, and then you have it also in Mark 16, 1 through 11, Luke 24, 1 through 12, and John 20, 1 through 18. All of them talking about the resurrection. But here's what I want you to understand, what the resurrection really did for you and I. You know, the first thing the resurrection did for you and I is simply that it ratified the promise of God. Because y'all know in Genesis, the first chapter, Genesis, the third chapter, when he talks to Satan, and he tells Satan that I'm going to make sure that the seed of the woman is going to crush your head. You're simply going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. Uh-huh. That was a prophecy, but also a promise. Uh-huh. Because what he told Satan is that I promise you, in the years to come,
uh-huh,
I'm going to take back what Adam gave to you. He says, in the years to come, I promise you, Satan, you know, and I love when God gives a promise because Dean Hart, he gonna fulfill that promise. He said, I promise you that when my son comes, he's going to crush your head. As a matter of fact, he spoke in a parable that Satan didn't even know. Because Satan was so stupid that he started trying to kill every firstborn child. You know, from Moses to Herod, he tried to kill the firstborn child because he didn't know what was coming out here. All he knew was that somebody was coming after him. So God promised, he promised Satan, I'm going to get you.
Yeah.
Now, see, God is way more patient than I am. He's way more long-suffering than I am. Now, it took him a while. It took him a couple of thousand years.
Uh-huh.
You know, and maybe Satan thought he forgot about it. I don't know, Brother Brian. Maybe he thought he forgot. But their promise came true on a hill called Calvary.
Yes, yes.
And this thing called the crucifixion. That was when he crushed his head. Because the crucifixion then, at that point, you know, it began the process of us being delivered now. Not quite yet, because then the resurrection came.
Yeah.
And see, the resurrection was the final blow. Because y'all, you need to understand what happened with the resurrection. Because as he ratified the promise with the cross and the crucifixion, what we don't understand is there was a point in time between the crucifixion and the resurrection.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Amen.
I'm going to get to that. Because at that time through the crucifixion and the resurrection, something happened. You know what happened?
What happened?
I'm glad you asked that question. That's a good question. The Bible says that he descended into hell. And when he descended into hell, he had to do a little preaching. And they say that as he descended into hell, he literally walked up to death and said, now, okay, this is Hargrove rendition, y'all. This is Hargrove rendition. Okay. He literally walked up to death. And he said, okay, give me the keys. So he unlocked the key of death.
Uh-huh.
He went up to Satan. He said, okay, now, we told you what's coming after. We here now. And then he looked over to his saints, those who were waiting.
Uh-huh.
And he said, the word says he led captivity captive.
Uh-huh.
So as he was in hell preaching, in other words, he said, okay, it's time to go.
Uh-huh.
Let's go, Moses. Let's go, David.
Uh-huh.
Let's go, Daniel. Let's go, Isaiah.
All right.
Let's go, Jeremiah.
Uh-huh.
Let's go, Ezekiel.
Yeah.
Let's go, Nahum, mm-hmm, Habakkuk, Zechariah, Zephaniah. Let's go.
Uh-huh.
Let's go, Joshua.
Yeah.
We got to roll. Uh-huh. Come on, Holder. Let's go. Let's go. You've been down here long enough. Josiah, you've been down here long enough. It's time to go.
Uh-huh.
Don't worry about him. He ain't got no power no more. He said, no, don't worry. Death ain't got no power no more. Satan ain't got no power over you now. It's my time now. It's time to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so all they did, they got up and they went.
All right.
But see, he had to go to hell first.
Yeah.
Because what he had to do, he had to break, He had to break the sting of death.
Uh-huh.
And he had to break grave down.
Uh-huh.
And as he broke grave down, and as he took the sting of death, which is, you know, the sting of death is simply you're afraid to die.
Uh-huh.
But as he took the sting of death, he says, it's time to go.
Yeah.
And I believe I read in Revelation where it says, I have the keys to the, I have the keys
uh-huh.
to in my hands.
Yes.
I was dead, but now I'm alive.
Yeah.
But all that happened in between crucifixion and the resurrection.
Uh-huh.
He had to descend. He had to break. He had to break. He had to break him out.
Yeah.
So when you look at the resurrection, it was God really fulfilling the promise. And, no, and just in case you don't understand that language, if you go to the book of Colossians, and I'm going to read to you really quickly in the Colossians what I just told you. It says this, the third chapter says this, second chapter says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. In other words, he said that the principalities, he says, I didn't mess them up. He says, I didn't embarrass them because they thought they had power.
Uh-huh.
I just showed them the power that I do have.
Yeah.
But here's the good thing. Not only did he have the power then, he has that same power right now to be able to get into your life and to be able to be involved in your life and to be able to break down whatever is in your life that you need broken down, but because of the resurrection. So the resurrection, it ratified the promise of the Creator. Then it also, number two, it raised the person of Christ. Here's why that is important. Because going back to what I said earlier about the myth, many people say that this is all still a myth. But you have eyewitness accounts. You have eyewitness accounts. You have historical accounts of seeing Jesus after he rose again from the dead. So my question is, why don't you believe it? You're willing to believe somebody who don't know Jesus. You're willing to believe somebody who don't know the word. You're willing to believe somebody who don't know God over what it says in the word. He appeared to over 500 some people all together after his death. So why don't we believe it? Why don't we believe it? Because you let some foolish folk who don't know the Bible tell you about the Bible. They didn't Google something, you know, on their phone, and they come and tell you about it, and you believe what they Google versus what's in the Word. I can sit here and I can argue this point. I can argue point for the next 45 minutes, hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and you'll leave here and then you'll see somebody Google something, and everything that I've shared with you and taught you from the Word of God tends to dissipate. So understand the resurrection, it ratified the promise of the Creator, but it also raised the person of Christ. Let's go back to about the relationship now. Understand this, Zoe. You hear me say this all the time, and I'm almost done. Understand this, that that Christianity is about a relationship with a person that has risen from the dead. It's about a relationship with a missing body from the grave. And all I challenge anybody to do is find the body, find the DNA, find the person that they called Jesus back then. If he's laying in the grave, then Christianity is no longer valid. They've been doing this now, Sister Jamie, for the last 2,000 plus years. You had all the smart folk try to reason him away. You had all the archaeologists and everybody that's trying to figure this thing out, but yet they still can't find the body. Why? Because the Bible says he rose. Why don't we believe the Bible? You know what the Bible said? He says, he is not here, for he is risen. Do I need to tell y'all that in the Greek, what it means, what it says in the Greek? I ain't going to tell y'all in the Greek. Somebody said, he think he's trying to be smart. But I'm going to tell you in English, in the New King James Version. As a matter of fact, you know what? Who got a New Living Translation? Who got another translation other than the New King James Version? Anybody? What you got? What the New Living Translation say? Just right there on verse 6. Yeah.
He isn't here. He is risen from the dead.
Huh, okay. What version you got, D?
I got the Living Bible.
What it say?
It says, he isn't here, for he has come back to life again.
Okay, who got another version? Anybody got another version? King James Version, maybe? New International Version? Come on, y'all got these phones. He is not here, for he is risen.
As he said.
Anybody else got anything else other than that? You know what I'm trying to get you to see it? Whatever Bible you got, whatever translation it is, it says, he is not here, he is risen. Just like he said. So why don't we believe that? Why don't we believe that? See, Q, I think we've gotten too smart for our own good. I only got one point, I got a few minutes. I think we've gotten too smart for our own good. I think we've got to be educated out of our senses. You know, I clumsily tried to talk about going back to the old landmark back on Wednesday when I was preaching. And see, what I think has happened is that we've gotten so smart that we think that our elders and our ancestors were dumb. Because they had faith, and they walked in the faith of the Word of God. We've gotten so smart, we've walked away from the faith. If we can't explain it and logically analyze it and all this other stuff, then we begin to stumble over what we believe. The Word is the Word. Either you believe it or you don't. And he said, I'm going to rise. And he rose like he said. Okay. Last one. So the resurrection, it ratifies the promise of the Creator. He said, I promise you, Satan, I'm coming for you.
That's right.
He came for him. Tied him up. Put hands on him. But then it also raises the person of the Christ. In other words, the resurrection says he rose bodily.
Yeah.
Not in your mind, not in the spirit. Mm-hmm. It was a bodily resurrection.
Yeah.
That's why Christianity is about a resurrection, is about a relationship with a missing body from the grave.
Yeah.
But lastly, it releases the power of the cross. See, the resurrection releases the power of the cross. How does it do that? I'm glad you asked that question too. Here's how it does that. Because see, the power of the cross is the fact that Jesus, first, he had to be that Lamb of God. He had to be that sacrifice. He had to shed his blood for you and I on the cross. But in order for the cross to become, in order for it to become activated in your and my life, he had to descend. He had to take care of Satan. He had to preach to the souls in hell. And he had to bring them up out of hell. But then he had to go back, and then he had to then get back into his body. And then he had to bodily resurrect. And so what makes the power of the cross activated now is because he has resurrected. He has now handcuffed Satan. He has now handcuffed the demons. He has now put them in a chokehold.
All right.
Y'all do know that all the stuff that you go through right now,
yeah.
Y'all do know that he got it in a chokehold.
Uh-huh.
I know y'all don't think that because you don't experience that. But you do know that until you walk in your deliverance. He has what you're dealing with right now in a chokehold.
Right.
He has whatever you're going through right now in a chokehold. Because of the power of the cross, the resurrection brought power and activated the cross in your my life. And so therefore, whatever you are going through right now, that's what Paul said. He said, proclaiming his death until he comes back. Why? You are proclaiming your power. You are proclaiming your victory. You are proclaiming your deliverance. You are proclaiming your freedom in him. You are proclaiming what he created you to be when you thought he did not create you for one thing. He said, you are literally proclaiming what God has called you to be.
Thank you, God. Yes, God.
Hallelujah.
That's the power of the cross. The resurrection releases that power for you and I because he knows that we need to be able to have that power, that ability, that authority to be able to walk in the word of God. That's all that means. The power of the cross is your ability to walk in the authority that God has given you and to walk in the authenticity of the relationship that God has with you. That is what the power of the cross is, and the resurrection releases that power to you and I. The question is, when will you believe it? When will you believe it? We walk around here with our heads hung low. We walk around here with our heads down. We walk around here defeated with life. And he has already defeated life. And he's defeated death. And he's given you Zoe. He's given you life.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
I'm done. The resurrection simply ratifies the promise of the Creator. The resurrection raises the person of the Christ.
Yeah.
And the resurrection releases the power of the cross into your life.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
See, I ain't got time to be pretty, and I ain't got time to, you know, try to, you know, come up with all these great, wonderful words. Because at the end of the day, y'all, the resurrection is for you and I.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you gonna do with it? What you gonna do with it? What you gonna do with it? That's all I can ask. What are you gonna do with it? You going through something in your life right now? What you gonna do with the resurrection? What you gonna do with the power he's given you? He's handing it to you. They were singing about the blood.
Yeah.
The power of the blood in your and my life. The reason why it's so powerful is because the blood cleanses you and I.
Yes, yes.
And declares us righteous.
Yes.
And what that means, what that simply means is that I can now stand in the presence of God.
Yes.
I can now call him daddy.
Yeah.
I can now be able to go into that holy of holies and have a conversation when I couldn't have one before.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all it means. That's all it means. Just know the resurrection. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. I would say this, and that is, don't waste the resurrection in your life. Don't waste it. Don't waste it.